Hey guys, my name is Crystal Kenny, and I'm in love with creating. All things artistic and imagination involved. I'm an American girl who chased her creative dreams all the way to Paris, France, making a living using photography. This podcast takes you inside the stories of all the artsy folks I've met along the way and gives you that extra push to discover your creative gifts. The desire to create is deeply inside each and every one of us, and I give you the tools and inspiration to find a new way of living a more creative life. This is La Vie Creative, the podcast. Today on the show, I interview local artist Caitlin Hansen. Caitlin is originally from Seattle, but she's been calling Paris home for quite some time, and she's actually my neighbor. She lives in Montmartre. We talk about the healing effects of art and how her work has evolved since moving to France. So welcome to the show, Caitlin. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Crystal?
I'm good. I really enjoyed meeting you the other day at a mutual friend Molly's birthday. She was actually on the show too, and I thought it'd be exciting to share your story as well.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I'm excited to be here.
And I want to go back to the beginning. Like with most guests, they always talk about what brought you to Paris. How are you liking it here? You're actually my neighbor. You live in Montmartre as well. So talk a little bit about what brought you here and how you're living it.
Yeah, of course. So my Paris story is a bit cliche. My partner and I met in June of 2018 on a blind date, and we were set up by a mutual friend of ours. He had just moved back from Paris after finishing graduate school, and I was preparing to move to New York at the end of the summer for an art program that I was accepted into. On our first date, I told him that my plans to leave Seattle were at the end of the summertime. And a few months after I met him, I ended up deferring my program for a year so that I can continue dating this guy that I had just met.
It must have been some guy.
Yeah. And then within a few months, I think that I had fallen in love with him. And 9 months after we began dating, he got this job offer back in Paris and asked me to go with him. So we packed up all of our belongings into 6 suitcases. And within a few months, we left the country and moved to Paris together. And we've been here ever since.
And you moved here like right before the pandemic started, right?
Yeah, just in April of 2019. Yeah.
So you got to enjoy it a little bit before everything closed down.
Exactly. About 6 months. And then we were in lockdown.
Oh, man. Well, that really was a test to your relationship, like newly dating in Paris, living through the plague.
Definitely a test.
And so during that time, like how did that affect your art? Did you find yourself like creating more or being less like inspired, or what happened during that time?
Yeah, I think it was a bit hit and miss. It was definitely difficult being in our tiny 42-meter-squared apartment, which, you know, everyone in Paris lives in small spaces.
Yeah.
Difficult to, I think, create consistently. But it was also a really good time, I think, to meditate and, you know, for our relationship to become closer. And so I think after the confinement lifted, I think that it kind of, it opened up this whole new world to me of, you know, what it means to be an artist in Paris, and just kind of reigniting the passions and inspirations that you find in everyday life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was like so different from what you were experiencing. So you like appreciate it more.
Yeah, definitely.
And tell us about the type of art you create. It looks like you're combining sculpture and painting a lot.
Yeah, I do use a lot of, I think, textile materials in my artwork. I use a lot of texture, a lot of clay, and most all of my canvas and materials I've been recycling off the streets of Paris.
That's so cool. So you find like literally canvas and wood in the street and reuse it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of great living in Montmartre because it's a neighborhood full of artists. And so there's a lot of people tossing out their old works that are either unloved or just not quite what they were hoped to be. So I have spent just my morning runs kind of scourging the streets and finding old canvas and then upcycling them. So making sure that, you know, it's clean and restored if there's tears and rips, and then creating kind of on top of that.
Have you found anything crazy that you ended up using that was other than a canvas?
I found some really neat old maps that I've torn up, and you'll see in some of my work. And I found some really neat old easels over the last couple of years.
Oh, nice. Those are expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And some of them are you know, pretty nice antiques. So they would probably be worth something, you know, in an antique store.
I'm always surprised at how much stuff you find in the streets here. And, you know, you just, you go by and 5 minutes later, it's gone. So you have to grab it right when you see it.
You do, definitely.
I remember, like, right next to actually where Molly lives by the Moulin de la Galette, there was an old man who painted pets. And I'd always look at him in the window, just like painting his animals. And, you know, it's kind of sad because then one day you see the ambulance come. And then the next day, like a couple days later, you see all his paints and canvases in the street. And then now you just see his wife. But I mean, I thought it was so sweet that she still like donated all his stuff to like people to use afterwards, because he had so many paints and canvases, and you're right, you find this stuff all the time.
Yeah, every time, you know, an artist passes, there's not really a system where, unless they have family members who come and collect everything, but oftentimes, you know, that is their way of donating, is they have the city come and pick their belongings up. And so there's usually a period between that time that it's picked up where, you know, it's kind of free grabs for the community.
Yeah.
A great way to recycle. And it also promotes my work, which I hope to kind of encourage this greener future for artists.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what your work represents, like what inspires your work.
Yeah. So in my past work in Seattle, where I'm originally from, I worked as a social worker and also taught art therapy classes on the side to women who had been sex trafficked into the greater Seattle area.
Yeah.
And so I have these kind of two devotions really that have collided through my work. So I have this passion for philanthropy and social causes. And I think a lot of that's revealed in my work. So you'll oftentimes see, visuals of cityscapes that have been neglected, or just stories of, tragedy that people have gone through. And I think that it's just kind of this unique blend of social cause and meeting art.
Yeah, I love that, how you can combine the two forms. And I know that art has been used as a form of therapy for a long time and helped a lot of people. I mean, talk a little bit about like what you would do with these women, what kind of art would you make, and how would that help them?
Yeah, I think, it's different for each person, but going through something as traumatic as a lot of these women and children had gone through, we would do a lot of work with our hands. So we'd be using textiles and clays, paints, and oftentimes even gardening and things that were, out in nature. So whether it be painting out in nature, sculpting outdoors, or just really getting in the dirt and working with their hands, you know, those are all part of this creative process. And I think can lead to this unique healing experience for people who've gone through something really traumatic.
So would you just kind of give them options and then they kind of gravitate towards what made them feel the best?
Not so much options. I would really get to know the person first. It was kind of a balance of case management and art therapy.
Yeah.
So working with them individually, and then based on what their experiences were or where I could sense tension in their bodies, I think that we would just kind of cater to their unique needs and try to find something that really helped relieve some of that tension within them.
What do you think is the importance of art in today's world, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I think Paris, being in Paris, has really opened my eyes to the importance of art in a different light. It's always been really important to me, but coming into a community where literally everyone values it, It's such a big part of the community here in France that it reminds me how important it is to every being. And I think that it gets lost, I think, in the hustle of everyday life. And being in a city that just admires it, I think it's just a reflection of, you know, how valued it is. So for me, I think art is a way of communicating. It's a way of communicating where words fail. It's a way of communicating ideas and interests, but also your, you know, past hurts and future hopes.
And why do you think that art is healing? Like, what about it? Just because maybe, like you just said, sometimes you don't have words to help you heal?
Yeah, I think like having something physical to hold on to physically put in your hand, and it can be something you're really thinking about and focused hard on, or it can also be something that's very mindless, mm-hmm. and where you can just relieve your mind of any thought and just enjoy touching and feeling something and molding it, or blending colors and creating new colors. And I think that having those visuals can be a really important mental release, mm-hmm. Which is why for me, like, art therapy is really critical. It's because it's something that you don't have to necessarily think about all the time. It can be something that kind of takes you out of your everyday life, your current situation, and allows you to just be free and have that free mindset, which can be really beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. And just being in the moment, like you said, it kind of brings people back to reality.
Yeah, definitely.
What are some things that you think people could do in their daily lives to work in an art therapy way? Like, are there certain mediums people should use for therapy, or how does it work exactly?
So I think that you don't necessarily need to be working with a therapist to experience it. I think just getting out there and forcing yourself to create can be a therapy in itself. Mm-hmm. Whether it's taking your sketch pad out to the streets or out to the sun and just drawing kind of what you see. You don't have to be an artist to practice that. And it doesn't have to look like a painting or in the form of a drawing. It can be something as simple as, you know, cooking or gardening or doing beadwork or in your fashion. I think that, you know, art is such a broad subject, and you can find ways to be creative in so many different ways. And I think that therapy comes in so many different ways similarly. Where, you know, some people get their inspirations off of how they put themselves together in the morning and how they cook their meals in the evening. So I think it's person dependent, but whatever really makes you feel good and kind of gets you in that clear headspace, I think is really helpful.
Yeah, I like that. And how has Paris changed your art? Have you noticed anything that's changed about the way you work or what inspires you?
I think a big part of it is the recycling component for me. Being in a city that, you know, surprisingly for a city this large, they're fairly good at recycling. But you just see so much consumerism.
Yeah.
And in such a dense area with such a great population, you just see a lot go to waste. And I think that's been the biggest eye-opener for me as an artist, is how can we reduce that waste? Also, it's a really expensive city, and so how cost-wise can you make art and not be spending a fortune just going to these amazing art shops like Sennelier and some of the other art shops that, you know, are already going to pull you in to buy paints and supplies? But how can we minimize the things like purchasing canvas or just recycling them to make it just more environmentally friendly?
Yeah, I think that's so true. Like you said, especially living in the city and seeing things thrown in the street and seeing how expensive things are. I mean, do you find that the art shops are expensive here too, like comparatively to America, or you think that stuff is more accessible here?
I think yes and no. It kind of depends where you go. But you're definitely paying for quality. Like, there's amazing materials here that we don't really have access to, at least where I come from in Seattle. It's not the same value. Mm-hmm. So definitely worth it. Yeah. If you can do it. But yeah, there is a good mix, I think, for people on all budgets as well. It just depends on what your medium is and what outcome you're trying to go for.
And walk me through your process. Like, when you're creating something new, like, where do you get the inspiration or the idea? And like, do you sketch first or how does it work?
For me, I think my work is always changing. That might be a bit of my signature thing, is that it's kind of always evolving into something new. I don't really have just one medium. I love to paint and I probably do that the most. But I do try to implement techniques that maybe I make up and are inspired by other artists or things out in nature. But it's kind of changing as the world's changing, because so much of my work is inspired by things going on in everyday life, by the people I meet, the places we travel to, the interactions I have, or just things happening in our world on a global scale.
Yeah.
I think it allows my art to always change, which is really refreshing. And also, you know, through that, I think you build a bit of like a love-hate relationship with it, where, you know, you don't just settle for one medium. You're always kind of evolving and unsure and living in this process of like, do I love this? Do I dislike this? Where is this heading? Is it headed somewhere valuable or worthwhile? But in the end result, I think it's pretty exciting to just see that change constantly. I don't know that I always sketch things out in advance. It kind of depends. But oftentimes my work revolves, or is a product of a sleepless night or a scattered mind that I have. And it's kind of an escape from, from that moment, from the tiredness or from the scatteredness or the busy week. It's this opportunity for just myself to, kind of make a mess, you know, take the materials I have and put them out there. And then with this mess, create something really beautiful and meaningful.
I like that. It's like playing, yeah. You know, so you can like meditate through your play.
It is. I try to keep it really interactive.
That's the best way to do it. I think that comes up commonly on the show about just like getting back to having fun and like no rules. And do you find that when you have a commissioned work, like, is it more difficult because you don't have as much freedom?
I do. I actually don't prefer to do commission works. I have in the past. So I grew up with an artist. My dad was an artist and still is an artist. And he would build set designs and stagecraft for theaters. Wow. And he would direct plays and just kind of design the whole scape of the stage. And he'd oftentimes invite me into paint murals for him. That's so and cool. Through that, I got a few commission works as a teenager and my early 20s, where I would go and paint for these local theaters. And I did love it in that sense because it was so specific. The scene was specific, but it was still kind of make it your own. Whereas a lot of times when someone asks you, you know, to paint a portrait of their mother or their pet, I feel like it takes a little bit of that freedom away from the artist. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends, I guess. It depends on what the commission is, but oftentimes, I think that I'm producing something for myself first to a point where I really love it. And that those works, I think, are the ones that gain more maybe of the quote unquote public eye. I think that those are the ones that are maybe more interesting because they do truly come from the person creating them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like your soul, your brain, your ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
And when do you know that you really love something? Like, do you have to finish it or is it as it's coming together? Like, I'm sure like you're always your biggest critic.
You know, I don't know if any of my work is ever fully done. I have piles of canvas that are possibly complete, most of them incomplete, just stacked around our apartment. And the longer I sit there, the more I have desires to add to them and change them. So I think until they're out of my living or workspace, then they're never really fully complete.
I like that. As long as they're with you, you want to work on them.
Yeah, exactly.
And what do you do on the days where you're just not feeling inspired? Like some days you might just don't want to make anything. Like how do you get out of that rut?
Yeah. You know, I think that living in a city this large and dense with so much to see, it's really easy to find inspiration. I find just going for a walk and clearing my head and people watching and, you know, walking through these colorful streets and smelling all of the beautiful smells of the city can be really inspirational. And even if it doesn't get me to creating, you know, some grand masterpiece, it's still enough to get my imagination going and bring back ideas. And I always have some kind of notepad on me where I'm noting down ideas or things that I see in the streets that are really inspirational. And even if it's a year later that I create something from it, I oftentimes go back to those notes and use them in my artwork.
I like that. And how do you define creativity?
How do I define creativity? I think anything that just makes you happy and feel like it's an extension of yourself in a visual form. Anything from, you know, dance to music to movement to, you know, culinary experiences, I think are quote unquote labeled creativity. And I think any of those activities are mediums that allow you to fully release your thoughts, mm-hmm. and then to be able to walk away from that with something like physical, a memory that can bring you back to, you know, that point in time, I think can be creativity. It could be, you know, how you decorate your living space even. I don't think you have to be an artist or have a specialty to create. Now, anyone can pick up a paintbrush or pick up a pencil or decide to make something out of clay or, you know, scraps they find on the beach even. I think as long as you're trying to create something every day that keeps your imagination going, I think that you'll kind of figure out what your thing is, what your niche is. So I guess that would be my biggest thing is to keep creating and also to try not to compare yourself to other artists because we're all kind of doing the same thing. You know, at some point when you're, especially in a city that is just full of artists, it's hard not to at times, you know, criticize your own work. And there's a balance, you know, it's good to be somewhat critical, I think, at times of your work, but also to not be too hard on yourself and to give yourself that grace to just make things that are maybe not as visually appealing. Also, like make things that you might in the moment find unappealing, but later go back to and kind of remind you of the time when you made that and why you made that. And it kind of gives purpose or this afterlife to something that was created in you know, a moment that was maybe a hard moment or an uneventful moment. I think just creating purpose with those materials is helpful.
I like that, creating purpose and also taking people back or a shared experience, like you said earlier. And what are you most excited about for your future work? Do you have anything coming up or any projects you're working on?
Yeah, so I've done a couple of exhibitions this year and I have a couple more potentially coming up. There's a possibility for one in February that I'm waiting to hear back on. And then I have another one that I potentially have next June. And then this spring I'm doing a sculpture class in Florence. And so I'm going to start taking on that avenue a bit more because it's been a while since I've done much with sculpture. So I will be spending 2 weeks in Florence sculpting from life.
That sounds so fun. And what a great place to do it. I mean, so much inspiration around there.
Yeah, not the worst place to be.
And where can people connect with you online and check out your work and follow you?
Yeah, so I have a website. It's katehanson.art. That's my Instagram handle. It's katehanson.art. And then my website is katehanson.eu. And it's Kate, K-A-T-E.
Perfect. And I'll share that in the show notes so people can just click on it and follow your adventures in Florence. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks so much for chatting with me today. I can't wait to see what you do next. I'll be on the lookout for any like treasures in those streets of Montmartre for you to share with you.
Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for tuning in to La Vie Creative. You can find more information on missparisphoto.com. And if you enjoyed this show, please feel free to share and spread the word for all my creative guests. We have the power to help them to keep doing what they love. See you next time.